2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you want to turn there, or if you just want to sit and listen. Maybe one of these days I'll sit and listen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to finish this up today. And I mean it this time. And then, after that, if you look in 2 Corinthians 5, we're going to talk about this old house. We're going to talk about the tabernacle. May get there today. We'll see how it goes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Are you there? Say amen. You believe the Bible? You should. It's right. It's true. It's chock full of good things. And it's just like a buffet. If you don't really get much out of one thing, go get something else. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, I want you to think of that. I've never thought about that, but what does that mean? Shall raise up us also by Jesus. What do you think that means? Yeah, resurrection. Okay, but when it says by Jesus, what is that? Right, he is. That's right. Okay, it's the incorruptible seed. It's just like what he taught in 1 Corinthians 15. We sowed a seed in the ground, and it does what seed does. Okay, you don't have to manipulate the seed in any way. You don't have to pour a bunch of chemicals on it. You don't have to put electric rods in the ground. You don't have to do surgery on it. You don't have to do anything. When you're ready to grow grass in spring, technically all you have to do is throw enough seed out there. Okay? Grass will figure out what to do after that. It just does that. All right? Even the grass you don't want always figures out what to do. Amen? So anyway, it's by Jesus. Consider Lazarus. And he is in the tomb 4 days. He stinketh. And he said, take ye away the stone. So they took away the stone. And Jesus did not get his medical instruments out. He did not use the paddles they use. Okay. He did not do that. He did not use a sewing needle. Did nothing. Didn't give him medicine. He spoke. Yeah, that word's got power. That word has got power to bring dead things back to life. I like that. So raised us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Somebody please look that word redound up. I've been looking at that now for the last, 15 weeks that we've been in this one verse, and I do not fully comprehend what redound means. Okay? I know it's downing all over again. Because you're redounding it. Anyway, look that up. When you get the answer, raise your hand. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. I want you to ponder that for a minute. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now I want to look at, we've looked all through the Bible at the inner man being renewed, what the inner man is, how that's how we're saved. That's how we know that we are going to heaven is that inner man tells us, all right? And it's renewed. It's the Word of God. It's the seed of God. It's just like us getting ready to have a baby, all right? That's what that picture is. Now, let's talk about the outward man for a minute. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 is loaded with stuff. 23 is the number for death, okay? It's the number for death. What you got? Now say that again. Okay. Contribute greatly to a person's credit or honor. I like that. Huh? Redound. Okay. Contribute greatly to a person's... Yeah. Yeah. That means everybody that likes God tells everybody they like God. Amen? Okay. Matthew 23... I believe this. The number 23 is the number for death. and rotten. It's corrupt. If you go to Genesis 23, you know what you're going to see? You know what Genesis 23 is all about? The whole chapter. It's about Sarah dying and them buying her tomb. All right? It's called the Cave of Machpelah. Sarah was buried there. Abraham was buried there. Isaac and Jacob. In fact, Jacob told them in Egypt, when I die, my bones carry to where my father was, in the Cave of Machpelah. And that's what they did. So anyway, Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking concerning the scribes and the Pharisees. He's speaking of the religious crowd, the religious organization. All right? And I was thinking about this last night. In Jesus' time, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. And I'll explain myself here in a minute. In our time, it has a lot. I look in here and I see the Roman Catholic Church, and I'll tell you why in a minute. All right, or any other religious organization, including a quote unquote Christian church, that exalts the outward appearance rather than the inward man. You can always kind of tell what kind of church you're in if they will exalt the outward appearance. And it doesn't matter what shape it comes in. Doesn't matter if they build this magnificent, great, wonderful building to accommodate everybody's comfort and needs and so on. American Christians need to go spend about 2 weeks having a revival meeting in a church in Kenya somewhere. Okay? Amen? There's no big, magnificent church buildings out there. Okay? Not the real ones. They meet in shed, what we would call a shed or a barn. That's where they meet. They carve out some pews for everybody to sit on, carve out a wooden pulpit for the man of God to put his Bible on. A lot of times they meet in the dark because there's no electricity, but they meet. Most of the time they're late, but they show up, okay? Anyway, but they're there. And they don't have all that junk that the Western world has in its churches, okay? And I like that. I that blessed my heart. Here's some people now that's not looking at the beauty of the building. They're there to hear the word of God and to worship him. All right? I like that. But there's always equivalence in the Bible. Here Jesus, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. But does not this apply to every religious institution and every church that promotes the outside? Let me see here. There's a lot here. I want to go to verse 25. First, because that's where my notes are. And then we might kind of move around Matthew 23 just a little bit. Woe unto you, he says in verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup. Does everybody understand that? Okay? let's say that you got a job working for a 5-star restaurant, and I mean expensive restaurant, okay? Some restaurant where they bring this big plate out, this little deal on it, about this big, with little droplets all over it. Here you go, sir. Oh, this is so wonderful. Okay? And you're a dishwasher in the back. Okay? You all right there, sis?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, you're sitting there, and you're the dishwasher, all right? And you clean all the bowls and all the pans on the outside, and hang them. And boy, do they look good, okay? But they're filthy on the inside, dirty, nasty, rotten, corrupt, okay? It's sort of like dishes sitting in your dishwasher right now. Because if you've got a dishwasher, you know that everybody in the family will take and violate cups, spoons, bowls, and plates, and then stick them in the dishwasher. And always the outside of them gets really super clean. But we pull spoons and forks out of our drawer, and I don't know where you can get the stuff that's caked on our dishes sometimes. Okay, you know what I'm saying, right? That's what he said. He said, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. They're not clean on the inside. And I want you to ponder this, people, because here's my theory. When I remember when I put this together, I've got this little theory about churches and church people that look nice on the outside. Okay, I have a little theory about it. I have learned over the years to be very skeptical of Christianity. Not the Bible Christianity, but American Christianity, European Christianity, and even in places around the world. I've seen people with their little Jesus fish bumper sticker do some of the awfulest things that you could ever see. Okay? I've seen men. I saw a man one time that I admired and respected. He never knew that I knew him, but I knew who he was. And he was an upstanding member of a certain church in this town. And I got in line behind him one time at a convenience mart. And he was buying his big six-pack of beer bottles. Okay? And I knew his church. I knew they didn't go for that stuff. Okay? That's who he was. That's what he did. See, he didn't know I knew him. Okay? I knew him. I knew who he was. And I'm just going, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Okay? And I know preachers. Okay? I know preachers. I know them pretty well. I know that they're capable of some very, very rotten things. I was watching Cops the other night, and they pulled over this guy and this gal, and he had picked her up for whoredoms, is what he did. Okay? And they knew it. They knew the gal. And he's standing there talking about how he doesn't do this, and he was just being a good guy, giving this girl a ride home because it was cold and this and that and the other. And the girl finally, she told him, she said, well, let me tell you what really happened. So the cops knew what happened. And that man standing there trying to say, well, I don't do this thing. So I got a wife and kid at home. I'm this and I'm that. And that cop said, listen, I've arrested politicians, preachers, and everybody else in the world doing this same thing. I don't believe you for a second. Who do you think you are? And that hit me. This cop had been arresting preachers on this prostitution alley. Okay? Make it look good on the outside. Act nice and look nice on the outside, but inwardly you're full of sickening corruption. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I think as a philosophy, I think when you come to the house of God, you ought to look halfway decent. Okay? This is not a resort nightclub. It's not a dance hall. This is not an entertainment place. This is not a fashion show. Okay, this is the house of God. And I think that putting on decent clothes is not asking too much. If you're going to a job interview, unless you're really stupid and do not want the job, you will dress halfway decent. Okay? But how many men and women who have dressed in a admirable fashion who get the job are the most worthless people you've ever met? Okay? They look good on the outside, and maybe that's why they were hired, but the truth of it is they're not qualified and they can't do the job. So you get what I'm saying, right? Okay? When you like to be clean, when God puts a clean spirit inside of you, and the Bible is a clean spirit, it's all about washing things. When that is on the inside of you, you will have a desire to have things clean on the outside, okay? Not to satisfy everybody, but just to satisfy yourself, okay? Usually on Saturdays, Saturday is my day. It's been that way since Lisa and I got married, okay? When I found out she would go jump in the car with her mom and go shopping all day Saturday, I'm going. And then I thought, Mike, you got your whole day here, okay? Normally, I do not care what I look like. I do not care what I smell like. I do not shave normally on Saturday. Let's the day of rest. Let her rest. Amen. Give my face a Sabbath. Okay. But as the day goes on, I can't even stand my own greasiness. I can't stand it. Okay. I don't like it. I don't like the feeling of it. I don't like being dirty. And I did some work yesterday outside, and when I come in, I took a bath, cleaned up. That's why it's in my nature. That's what I like. I like feeling clean. Amen? So I'm not doing this to impress everybody else. That's just what I feel like. Okay? On Sunday morning, it's just been part of me since I was a child. On Sunday morning, I come in here, I'm going to dress up halfway decent. Okay? I'm going to wear a tie and everything. I'm not trying to impress anybody. This is a professional look, and I am in a profession. All right? Sunday night, I'll relax a little bit. Wednesday night, I'll relax a little bit, but I'm still not up here wearing cut-off blue jeans with little threads hanging down, like Dad used to wear. Okay? Anyway, and I'm not up here in some muscle t-shirt showing off my muscles. Okay? I'm dressing up. But here's my point. If God cleans you on the inside, God will then give you a new desire to be clean on the outside and nice on the outside. Okay? The people that dress in whatever fashion, okay, in order to show off an appearance, I've just learned to be suspectful and critical of it. Maybe that's just my nature. Maybe I shouldn't be. But it doesn't impress me like it used to. It does not impress me like it used to, because I've just seen so much go wrong amongst church people, amongst preachers, everybody that's in a church. Things go wrong, and their suit and their tie and their dress had nothing to do with it. Okay? So anyway, keep that in mind. That's where I'm going. Verse 26. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. See how he connected it? He connected it. But he said there's an order to it. Clean the inside first. Let the water of God's word wash you and make you clean on the inside. And when it's clean on the inside, it ought to be clean. Think about your truck or your car, okay? When we live and abide in things and places like cars and houses, every now and then we can't stand our own filth. Got to clean your car out every now and then. Got to clean your desk off, okay? Clean the inside of that car. You clean the inside of that car. When you shut the door, you look at the outside, and what do? I got to clean the outside. Now look what I started. I got to clean the whole thing, okay? But that's the point that he's making, okay? He said, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. You're not really clean on the outside unless the inner man is clean on the inside, okay? Verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres. Now, think about the arrangement of your Bible. A sepulcher is a tomb. Think about what the 23rd chapter of the Bible is. It's Genesis 23, and it talks about the cave of Machpelah, the tomb of Sarah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? And here, in the 23rd chapter of the New Testament, there's a symmetry. He said, on the outside, you're like unto whited sepulchers. You go by any graveyard here, any place, you'll see these nice headstones. They'll put ornaments there. They'll put flowers there. They'll dress them up. Lisa and I will go to Adeline's grave every now and then, give her a little birthday present, give her a little Christmas present. Hardest thing we do in the world is to go by there and do that, but we don't want to forget her, and we want the thing to look nice. Amen? Okay? And you go see these big mausoleums and these big places where they're going to bury people and store people and all this stuff. We make them look really, really nice. We make them look good. And he said, you Pharisees, you are whited sepulchres. You are nice-looking graveyards is what you are, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Okay? Now here's what I want you to do. Everybody pay attention. Okay? Everybody just take a good whiff of the air that's in this room, okay? I don't see anybody gagging and going, I got to get out of here, this place stinks, or anything like that. I like it when we have big church dinners, because I like it when a church smells like coffee and fried chicken. Okay, I do, okay? I like that. That's the first thing I remember about this church. First day we came in here, they were having a building dedication, and the Brashears were singing, and they had coffee and chicken everywhere downstairs in the basement. Didn't even have half the church done, but the way we're in here, okay? This air smells pretty decent, okay? Now, go like this. What happened? It's corrupt. It smells like coffee and chicken, doesn't it? Okay? But it's not the same. You get my drift? Coffee in a coffee pot smells good. Coffee on somebody's breath stinks. It stinks. Amen? Something wrong with that. Here's what I'm telling you. We took in perfectly clean air and we corrupted it. Inside of us is full of corruption. It's full of dead men's bones, and sometimes that's what it smells like coming out of us. We smell like death. All right? And that's what he's saying here. Verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. You appear righteous unto men. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now I'm going to address something that I think applies here. Now I'm not being critical of the Duggar family and the lifestyle that they chose. Okay? That is what they chose. I like some of the things I heard on the, I didn't watch their show all the time, but every now and then I'd sit with Lisa and the kids and we'd watch and them having their Bible time and this and that and the other, and I think that's wonderful. Okay? They only let their girls wear dresses, and they didn't let them wear anything else outside of the home or anything like that. And I'm not, ladies look like ladies, amen? Because right now we're seeing a blurring of the lines. I was at the store the other day with Lisa, and I saw what looked like a woman, and I could not tell who that was with her. I could not tell if it was a woman or if it was a man. I had no clue. I suspected it was another woman who was trying to appear as a man. Now, ladies, dress like ladies. Dress like women. Don't let anybody look at you and wonder who you are. Amen? Okay? And I'm not going to tell you what all you have to wear in order to qualify for that. That God will show you that. God has standards. God will show it to you in His Word what He wants you to do. All right? We clear? So I do not criticize the Duggars, okay? But you know that one of them Duggar children has had multiple serious issues in his life, okay? And anytime you're, what have they got? 20 kids, 19 kids, okay? There's going to be a few more of them. There's going to be a few more of those kids that are not going to turn out the way mom and daddy expected. Now this young man dressed the way he was supposed to dress, did on the outside everything he was supposed to do, appeared on the outside as he was this certain champion of righteousness and everything else. Even after the first controversy came up about his past, okay, and everybody said, look, that was his past, leave it alone, amen, praise the Lord, everybody's got one, and if you don't have one, you're fixing to get one. Okay, but then he's going to churches and they're promoting him as Mr. Holiness because, oh, that was all in the past and he's a changed man. Him knowing full well what he was doing with the position, the power, and the money that he had. He was a man of many whoredoms, many of them. All right? He appeared on the outside to be one thing while never admitting that he was something that he wasn't. Never admitted it. Okay? And here's what I'm telling you. Don't stop wearing nice clothes. Don't stop cleaning yourself. Don't stop doing any of these things. Don't stop acting the way a Christian should act. But at least be honest. Because you are full of dead men's bones. Breathe in, smells good. Breathe out. See how simple that is? Okay, that's your outward man. And I'm just saying, not in every case, but I've been fooled too many times by a nice clean shirt and a nice haircut and a nice long dress on a woman. I've been fooled way too many times to look at that and say, well, they're really godly there. They're really holy. They're really set apart people. You can tell. Sin will always, it's like mice and roaches and little snakes getting in your house. They will always find a way. Sin will always find a way to get in there because you trapped it in is what you did when you covered it up. All right, let's move on. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You know what? You keep going to Romans 2, and if you want to turn back to Matthew 23, I'm going to address something else that goes along with it. When he told them that they were whited sepulchres on the outside, but inwardly full of dead men's bones, he said, even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. All right? You know how to avoid hypocrisy being a Christian? Yeah, being honest with the Lord and everybody else. Don't quit lying to everybody. It is not hypocritical to come to the house of the Lord, sing the hymns, look presentable, comb your hair, whatever it is. That's not hypocrisy, okay? It's not hypocrisy to attend a church. You're the ones who needed it. You're the ones who know it. You're the ones who recognize it, all right? That's not hypocritical. What's hypocritical is with you want everybody to think that you are one thing when the truth is you're not. And I'll tell you, it doesn't just apply to the clothes that we put on when we go out to church or whatever. It doesn't just apply there. A lot of religious practices in churches are performed by people as a religious covering of a corruption on the inside. You will go in churches and you will see men and women howling and speaking in all these tongues and acting, running around and acting like they are full of the Holy Ghost. You will see preachers do it. You'll see preachers preach messages, and you would think that on the outside it looks like they are just full of God's Spirit, and boy, God is really moving through them and God is working through them. But the truth of it is they are inwardly full of corruption, and they have done nothing about the inward man. Nothing. Not a thing. Okay? And people can be fooled. Roman Catholicism. Okay, Roman Catholic priests do not show up for church wearing a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt. Okay, in a pair of sandals with a coffee cup in their hand. What do? They dress up in their robes, put on their religious hats. Every item of clothing that they wear has some sort of symbolic religious ideology to it. Everything they do. They dress that up on the outside to look like the holy men of God. But inwardly, they are full of dead men's bones. By the way, there's a thing I'm going to throw in here too. Catholics love relics. They worship relics. Okay? And you will find in many Catholic churches a relic of some saint or some Catholic event somewhere in history inside their church. A few years ago, some group brought to the St. Louis area these little religious relics. Somebody said it had a little piece of wood in there, and somebody said that was a piece of wood from the cross. And so they bring that in there, and everybody's going, and they're praying to this little stick. Okay? And, especially in Europe, it's real bad in Europe, they will have the dead bones or the dead remains of some saint. And every now and then, they'll whip that out and pass that around and have everybody show it, put it up there in front of the church. People come for miles. They'll come to touch it. They'll come to pray before it, to gaze upon it, because they believe that they're going to receive some kind of blessing and special grace from adoring that. Okay? That is, they are full of dead men's bones, is what they are. Okay? But it's not just the Catholic Church. All right, and while I'm here in Matthew 23, okay, he says in verse 29, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have. You know what Jesus knew? That they were just a few chapters away from doing it to him. Same people. Okay? And here's what I'm telling you. The emphasis on the outward man of a church person will always accompany pride in that appearance. Always. Those who promote the outward appearance, okay, their pride will be, look at how we dress. Look at what we do in our services. We believe the King James Bible. Okay? We can say that on the outside, right? And inwardly, we can be full of dead men's bones. And I want you to ponder that. I'm not going to recommend that we just start wearing shorts and t-shirts and everything else to church. That's not right. Okay? But there's been people come to visit our church wearing cut-off shorts or whatever. They're here. Might as well preach to them.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Might as well preach to them. Okay? Because I am not concerned for the time being about what I think I need to change on the outside of them. What I'm more concerned with is what's going on in the inside. Okay? Let me address this. I'm just kind of covering all the bases. I've seen churches that every time they had at the close of the service, there'd be huge amounts of people running down to the altar. Okay? If God's in it, amen, praise the Lord. Okay? We probably don't use ours enough. That doesn't mean that there's good things on the inside of them. Because they use it, they can use it as a show. It's a show. Okay? Running down the altar, crying, having a big spell. Okay? Then go back, nothing's changed. Okay? Come back next service. Come down the altar, have a big spell. Everybody praying real loud, out, you know, just all that stuff. Go back, ain't nothing changed about it. Okay? What I'm saying to you is, if you'll let God clean up the inside of you, all of a sudden, stuff will start falling off you, and the outside will be clean. Okay? But it starts with the inward first. And it always accompanies pride. Where was I? Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is a Jew, which is one, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. The Jews, now don't get me wrong, I believe in Israel, I believe in the literal seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God has a remnant set aside according to his promise. He's going to save people out of the 12 tribes of Israel. So do not get me wrong, I do not replace Israel. But what he has done is he has grafted us in to the Jew. The Jew's Jesus. Okay, he is Israel. He is the son that God called out of Egypt. So he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. This was addressed at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Should we require the Gentiles to be circumcised by the law of Moses in order to show their salvation? And they met and they decided that since the Jews really didn't, even though they got circumcised, they didn't keep the law. So why should we put on them a burden that we ourselves have been unable to bear? So here's Paul addressing that. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 7, do you look on the things after the outward appearance? I know I do. If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. In other words, if you are trusting on the outward appearance, you're neglecting the inward man. All right? If you're trusting on the outward appearance, you're neglecting the inward man. Every woman who's ever had a baby knows that while she's carrying that baby, she has to do things for that baby while it's in her womb. Am I right, Paige? Okay? She has to eat certain things or eat twice as much of certain things. Okay? Doing it for the baby. Okay? Okay, but that you got to take care of that inward man. But if all she is all about the outward appearance and nothing else, she'll hate that kid. She'll want to abort him or give him up or not raise him right. 1 Peter chapter 3. Ladies, here he is addressing it. Not done yet. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair. and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Now, he's not condemning women wearing clothes, putting on apparel. He's not condemning plaiting the hair, fixing your hair in different styles. He's not condemning wearing gold. If you go read Ezekiel 16, you'll see that God adorned Jerusalem with rings and jewelry and makeup and some perfume and some nice clothes. I mean, he made her pretty. He made her very, very beautiful. But what she did was she took that and went out and whored herself with it. Okay, she went out and used the gifts that God had given her as whoredoms to other nations. And that's what God got her for. But God himself, okay, I think a husband should want his wife to look nice. Amen? Buy her a ring. I don't buy my wife clothes. Okay? Unless I'm out somewhere, traveling somewhere, and I know she likes to wear t-shirts, so I'll get her a t-shirt because I know that one size she wears. Okay? But other than that, I don't buy my wife clothes. I do buy her jewelry. Okay? I like for her to wear jewelry. That's me. It's my wife. Amen? It's my wife. Okay? And God did that with Jerusalem. But here's the thing. Ladies, your outward appearance, you can look godly on the outside. You can dress in all the Christian standards that we have established in this country over the last 100 years or whatever. You can dress all of those standards up and be inwardly the biggest Jezebel in the church. Okay? Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Ladies, you got a man in there. Like Sarah did. And that which is not corruptible. And why is he saying that? Because your outward appearance is corrupting. Ladies, you're out. You don't look like you did when you were 18. Amen? You don't look like you did when you were 20, 25. You don't look like that. And you've seen these Hollywood types and these rich women who into their 60s, 70s, and 80s are having so much cosmetic surgery done, they look horrid. They look terrible. Joan Rivers looked awful. Okay? And in anyway, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Ladies, you're all about adornment. And our homes would not look good if men decorated them. Amen. Amen? You are all about adornment. You're all about that tie does not go with that shirt, Mike. And I get mad. Well, I like it. I'm just telling you, it doesn't. Okay? Okay, whatever. Okay? That's her role. That's her job. She decorates this church. She makes it pretty. She don't pastor it. She don't preach messages. She don't tell me what to preach. She decorates it. Okay? That's her role. Ladies, you're good at decorating. Decorate the inside. Amen? Hang up some Bible verses.